So our reading this morning is Psalm 24. We're continuing to journey through the Psalms through the rest of August. And so this morning is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. I know not everybody is interested in football, and I was aware that when the Euros were on, some people that I knew were very excited, and some people that I knew were kind of groaning and wishing it was over. But you may have noticed, if you saw any bits of it, or maybe bits of it on the news, that the English crowd were very keen on singing Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. Despite the fact that that song has absolutely nothing to do with football, and doesn't really have anything to do with England either, but the crowd absolutely loved singing this song. And there's something about it, particularly the chorus, there's something about that melody that just begs to be sung, isn't there? Sweet Caroline, ba, ba, ba. And everyone just joins in, don't they? It's an amazing, catchy song. And singing with others is a fantastic feeling. It's an amazing feeling, isn't it? We got a little bit of that this morning. It's so great that we can sing again in church. And certainly for me, who's somebody who's leading the singing, to not just be singing on my own, but to hear other voices, it's a really good feeling. I remember when I was younger, I was in a choir. And there's nothing quite like that feeling of singing, but not singing on your own, but having other people around you singing as well. There's something that it does to the human soul to sing together with other human beings. It's really important. Of course, it's a really important part of our worship. It's believed that this morning's Psalms, what we now call Psalm 24, was sung as God's people walked up to Jerusalem carrying the Ark of God. Now, the Ark of God mustn't be confused with the other Ark in the Old Testament, which is Noah's Ark. They weren't carrying a big boat full of animals. They were carrying a very ornate gold type of box that they believed contained the presence of God. Now, later they discovered that you can't contain God in a box, and hopefully we're learning that as well, that you can't contain God in a box. But at that point, that was their focus. That was the thing that helped them connect with God, this idea that God's presence was there tangibly in that box. And so this was a really important moment for God's people. And as they walked up to Jerusalem, that very holy place, they were singing. And in fact, we read about this moment in 2 Samuel chapter 6, so earlier on in what we now have as the Old Testament. It says this: David again brought together all the young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. So we get there a little glimpse into what was going on. There are thousands of people, it tells us. And there is God's presence represented in this special place. And there are loud instruments. And this is what the people are singing. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You have to imagine thousands of voices singing this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. So this is how the song begins. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This is a big, bold statement, particularly for the kingdom of Israel to be making, because actually the kingdom of Israel was quite a small kingdoms, quite a small tribe compared to Egyptians and the Assyrians that were around at the time, which had huge amounts of wealth and huge amounts of land. They were actually quite insignificant on the global scale, but yet they're declaring this. So to say that the earth belongs to your God shows how they were seeing beyond just their own little tribe. They were seeing something much bigger. They had a much bigger vision. A few weeks ago, I was preaching about how we often fall into the bad habit of having a sacred and secular divide. We put things in these two different categories. How we can easily fall into seeing some activities as sacred. So our sacred activities when we come to church, when we read our Bibles, when we go to our house group, or when we do those kind of churchy, prayerful things. And then the other bits of our life we think have nothing to do with God or faith. So work, school, shopping, being online, social time. The truth is, everything is sacred. Everything is part of God's world. And here we have this holistic worldview stated really clearly and loudly. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it is the Lord's. In the New Testament, just as Christianity is starting out, Paul quotes this phrase twice in his letter to the Corinthians in chapter 10. And he does it when he's explaining that no food is itself unclean, and that there is in fact nothing that actually belongs to the false gods and that the pagans made offerings to. It all belongs to God, Paul is saying. False gods can't claim ownership of things. They don't have that power. They're not even real. Of course the earth belongs to God. And the earth being God's amazing creation reminds us of our ecological and our environmental responsibility. The past few weeks and months, we've been seeing more and more in our news feeds, haven't we, of just the devastation that's being caused by the climate crisis. We've seen wildfires and floods and all these other extreme weather conditions confirming scientists' fears about the future of this precious and increasingly fragile planet. But as followers of Jesus, how should we respond to this? Well, as a group, we've started meeting under the heading of Eco Church to look at this particular question. As Christians and as the church locally, how should we respond to what's going on in the environment? And we've met a few times now, and we're planning on launching a sort of church, whole church initiative in September with the help of some of our young people who are really passionate about this issue. And of course, they're concerned about the planet and its future. So on the 19th, on Sunday the 19th of September, we're going to have a Climate Sunday. And we're going to celebrate God's wonderful world and his wonderful creation. But we're also going to pray for the challenges that face us as stewards of this planet. We're currently working towards what's called the Bronze Eco Church Award, and we'll be sharing more about what that means on that Sunday. And we'd love to connect with the wider community as well. Not that this is just a church thing for those of us inside the building, but recognise that this is an important issue for everybody in our community. So if you're interested in those kind of issues and you want to find out more about that group, and if you want to join the group, then do please talk to me. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we need to take care of it. We need to help it flourish. But it's not just that God as creator is able to say, I made all of this. It's not just nature and animals and objects that belong to God, but people do too. Right there in that first verse it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Notice it's not saying that we belong to God, just us, the Israelites, God's special people, those who believe and belong to this tribe. It says all who live on the earth, everybody, everyone who lives in this world belongs to the Lord. All people belong, the believers, the non-believers, those who believe and belong to different groups and tribes and nations, everybody belongs. Again, there's no divide here. All of this, everyone belongs to the Lord. But then the psalm asks two questions. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in that holy place? And then it gives this answer. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by false gods. So everyone belongs to God, but not everyone is making this journey to this holy place. Not everyone is part of this act of worship. It's self-selective. You need to choose to be part of it, to live with clean hands and a pure heart. Some people have unclean hands. Their hearts are dirty, meaning that they're involved in injustice and violence. Some people's hearts are not pure, meaning that they're holding on to anger or jealousy or hatred. They're talking about the often misunderstood word and concept of sin. I find it really helpful to recognize that the root word of sin means to miss the mark. If you imagine an arrow aiming at a target, sin means that the arrow that you've aimed misses the target. But what is the target that we're supposed to be aiming for? Well, Jesus makes this clear for us. The aim, the target, is to love God and to love others as we love ourselves. That's the thing that we're aiming for, to love God and to love others as we love ourselves. Anything we do, say, or think that misses that mark, that misses that aim, is considered sin. Anything that doesn't love God, that doesn't love others, and that doesn't love ourselves is missing the mark. This worship song, Psalm 24, is saying that walking this way and singing this song, being part of this community, having your voice joined to other voices, is about choosing a life of love. And if you're up for that, then join the song. Grab your cymbal or your harp and let's go. And all these years later, the invitation is still the same. We gather and we sing our songs. We confess our sin. We admit that we often miss that mark of loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. And we come back together on a Sunday to get back on track and say, yes, these are my people. This is my God, the God of love. We're imperfect people choosing to live lives of love. We follow the God who is love. Our aim isn't always spot on. We often miss, but our intention is love. That is where we're aiming. That is what it means to seek God's face. Verse 5, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Then comes this really interesting phrase. It's almost like poetry. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The psalmist here is saying that God's people, Israel, you are the gates. You are the doors for the rest of the world to come before the King of glory. Lift up your heads. Keep your heads up. Don't despair. You are making a way to the King, the one who is to come. You won't have to ascend to his holy place, for he is going to humble himself and descend from his holy place and come to you. And the psalmist declares it twice to make sure that we get the point. Israel, God's people, you are the gates and the doors. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. The message is that the King is coming. Lift up your heads. Don't be discouraged. And this proclamation echoes through thousands of years to us today in and through Jesus. Jesus is the gate. He is the way. He comes to us as a humble king. The battle and strength is not against literal armies. He's not wanting to kill and to claim land. He is the Prince of Peace. He comes to heal and to forgive, to make a way for us to be one with God and one with each other. He comes speaking up for the poor and the outsiders. He comes to declare justice and mercy. It's like a song. A song that we are encouraged to join in singing. Grab your instruments, sing and live for justice and mercy. Live like Jesus. This song of Jesus echoes the ancient psalm. The earth is the Lord's. This beautiful, fragile planet belongs to God and needs caring for and protecting. Each and every person on this fragile planet belongs to God and is precious and valuable and needs love and care, including you and me. So lift up your heads, for the King of Glory is inviting you to join the song and discover that you are valuable and loved, and that through joining the song, you make a way for others to join too. So let's do it. Let's join that movement of justice for the earth, for the poor, for everyone. The ultimate call is to show the world what the world looks like when Jesus is in charge. King Jesus. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, Jesus. He is the King of Glory. Amen.